Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. This is a little bit different of a segment. I'm going to do some entertainment stuff because I believe it's a byproduct about what's with everything that's happening right now. I'm joined with my co-host, Rose Angel Perez, from the Bronx or Brooklyn? You're New York. You're New York, right?
Brooklyn.
All right. I didn't mean to insult you.
No, it's okay. Puerto Ricans do love to live in the Bronx, too, I hear.
Well, look, I wanted to do a little spinoff on what I usually cover, which is politics. And I think this is definitely a byproduct of it. We're seeing a lot of problems in the entertainment industry, a lot of heat on the entertainment industry. You used to work for MTV, correct?
This is correct.
Damn. All right. I don't know if I should be happy for you or feel sorry for you. You know, a lot of people.
You were. Yes, definitely. And I mean, MTV, when it was, you know, the company was really huge and had all these focuses and concentrations. But I did specifically work in production, and I would write in the show productions and supervise teams and et cetera. So all financial decisions that had to do with any kind of production that I was involved in had to go through like me or my department, for example. So some of the more notable shows that I worked on was MTV Cribs. And I also did work with Diddy on the MTV Choose or Lose campaign. And specifically with him, it was Vote or Die.
Wow. So you've been around P. Diddy?
A few times, yes. And privately, I always had tantrums about working around him because it was very draining.
Yeah.
It was very draining on the production side to work with Diddy or his team. But then I developed a greater compassion when I saw how much harder it was for the people that were working around him, because when you are working production or anything that has to do with creativity, as you see, all of these worlds merge, right? And in my world, sometimes our music production world will merge with politics, that intersection, right, with Diddy, which was Vote or Die. And sometimes it will merge even with fashion, and you start kind of seeing just kind of how all of these entities start playing together. Now, when I'm in MTV and I'm working with politics and I'm meeting politicians, for example, that was really weird to see that crossover.
So let's just segue into P. Diddy then. I mean, because obviously he files to dismiss some claims, a lawsuit. Right here, I'm going to play a little bit of this. I want to get your take on this. Was he hard to work with? Was he a difficult person to work with?
That would be putting it mildly.
Really? Wow.
Miami is part of a sex trafficking investigation.
All right, now the music mogul has filed a motion to dismiss some claims in suit. Fox 5's Lisa Evers is here now with the latest. Lisa.
Well, Stephen, Natasha, Diddy is now fighting back against some of the allegations in one of the lawsuits filed against him. While he maintains his innocence, a double felony drug case against his personal assistant moves forward. All of this comes as a new TMZ documentary reveals support for Diddy coming from an unlikely ally.
Attorneys for Sean Diddy Combs filed a motion to throw out some of the claims made by Joy Dickerson Neal in her Manhattan State Supreme Court.
You know, I haven't really heard. I mean, it's kind of just stopped. It's come to like a standstill with this guy. Like it exploded on the media. It was going crazy. And now all of a sudden it's just kind of like it's almost crickets.
Mm-hmm. It's almost crickets. And some of the people that have been, you know, really close and covering this story, they're kind of been kind of setting and sending alarm bells saying, hello, don't be so quick to be sharing all of these stories, and because people are motivated by the optics that they see and all the raids. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. And then the other part that's a little terrifying is convicting someone of a crime before we actually know the details. Now, there are a lot of murmurings about this man and a lot of stories for so many years. So obviously where there's smoke, there's fuego.
Yeah.
¿Verdad? So we can't be too naive. But here's the other thing. The industry is dirty. Who is surprised when you think back of the musicians? How many musicians, down to like Elvis, for example, or other people that we love their music to this day, they have questionable, or maybe there was some underage things. I mean, there's a lot here to uncover.
Everybody has dirt on him, but from what I understand, Diddy was a kind of like a honeypot source. He was doing work for like the three-letter agencies, from what I understand. Would that make sense to you? And like trapping people, getting blackmail on them, basically holding that against them with the blackmail. Am I making sense of that?
A lot of people have been speculating that, right? Allegedly, that's what they are saying.
Yeah.
And again, some of the stories that have been shared out there, it's the detail. There are too many details for some of these stories not to be true. Obviously, when Cassie filed the lawsuit, if it was, you know, quickly he paid and it got quiet, I think that opened the door to a flood of a whole lot of people who want to expose maybe things that they've been holding. And some things that people are quickly learning is that some people who have been speaking out are also afraid for their livelihoods, their safety. And, you know, we think that this is just music entertainment and fun, fluffy stuff. But there is a real darkness to what we are talking about here.
Do you think Cat Williams, when he came out, do you think that was like... when he came out on Club Shay Shay and he revealed all that information he revealed and he started really throwing everyone under the bus, do you think that was, do you think that happened by, do you think Shay Shay, you know, Shannon Sharpe was in on that? Like he knew that's what they were going to talk about? Or do you think it just happened organically, just off the cuff?
That's a really good question. I think that if you asked me when it first happened, I probably would have said, oh, it's just an organic interview. But when you start kind of seeing if this is something that people have been carefully holding and waiting until the right time to reveal certain things, and then with what happened with the Tupac revelations that came out first, that people were sort of murmuring that things were going to be exposed and things were going to, they expected to see this. So it does feel to me like there is some planning, some advanced knowing of something going on.
Right.
Charles, so this time, well, though, you all are focusing on Diddy in your latest.
Yeah, this new special, The Downfall of Diddy, is now available on Tubi. And in it, we speak to a lot of people in his circle, people who were formerly in his circle and people who are still in his circle. Some people who are supporting him, people like Stevie J, and then others who have been, you know, loud opponents of his for years, including.
So they're going to really go full throttle with this on The Downfall of Diddy. Like they're going to make this like a huge spectacle. I mean, look, what is this, a documentary they're getting ready to make?
Well, I think they already made it. I haven't watched it. It's on Tubi. But what I was hearing from the content creators, some of them, the alternative ones on YouTube, is that some of their footage or their reaction, their speculation, whatever was used in that documentary or the TMZ video, and they were not asked for permission about, you know, their likeness showing up. So there's just some dirty things. I've never trusted TMZ. They just seem to be there right at the right moments to capture bochinche.
You know, I've been on TMZ. Uh-oh. I was on TMZ once, yeah, and I felt like it was completely, I feel like I got ambushed. I was going to a steak dinner with an investor of mine, and the way it happened, it just seemed so, like, orchestrated. It was really strange. I think they're all part of the three-letter agency stuff, man. I don't know.
It doesn't feel right. I mean, you know what it reminds me of, unfortunately, when we're talking about, like, 6ix9ine and how big he came up, and all of a sudden you hear all of the revelations afterwards that he was speaking and that he snitched. And it's just, you know, how much have people been exposed in these worlds and thinking that they're relaxed, engaging in a party, you know, whatever party that is. If you're going to a social gathering and you didn't do anything at supposedly the after parties with Diddy, but you were there at those parties, now people are going to be dissecting all of those people and what happened. And I think it's a very uncomfortable place for any body of influence that were mixing in those circles, because in the internet world, people love to, you know, it's sensational, right? And sometimes something looks like something, but it isn't. And so the only thing I like to just mention is, guys, be careful, because you don't know how this is going to whip around. And the people that are speaking, please, you know, because of content creating and I protect the content creators, I just want you guys to just continue to have all of your channels. So please be careful what you're saying, how you're saying, right, and that you're protecting
yourself.
All
allegedly.
Allegedly.
So let's talk about here. This is Suge Knight. Is Suge Knight still in jail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is he talking from prison? Okay, let's get into this. So what does Suge Knight have to say about Diddy? Here, I'm going to play it.
Action. It's not the reaction I thought I'd reaction. My first reaction. It's not the reaction I thought I'd have when the kid and the puppy. You know what I mean? I thought it'd be a reaction like he got what he got coming, because everybody know what's been going on. My reaction was actually different, because I felt like, damn, the first thing came to my mind was, you know, he had his sons, he had his daughters. My reaction was first about the kids. And the thing is,
wow,
I feel it's a bad day for hip-hop, bad day for the culture, because it makes us all look.
And this is coming from Suge Knight, man. This guy was like the hardest act in hip-hop, right? He was the toughest guy, the baddest dude. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I can say about Suge Knight. Seems like jail's maybe changing him a little bit.
But bad.
I gotta say, I am shocked at what you just said. I thought you were going to almost kind of dance over his troubles now, just because of your history and the grace you're showing toward him and his family.
Prison changed him. This is from prison, right? He's talking to him from prison?
I believe so.
Wow.
I don't know. It's kind of remarkable to me, given the history of you two guys. What changed with you?
I'm not the type of guy to cheer for people's downfall. And if somebody get killed or something happens to them, I'm not going to pop champagne bottles. And if I have a problem with Puffy, that's for him and I to sit down in the room and resolve it. So for the tragedy on both sides, the victim to him, that's definitely not nothing to cheer about.
Wow, that sounds to me like Suge Knight has changed a lot being in prison.
What an interesting day we're living in, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could say, weren't they looking at P. Diddy for Suge Knight and Tupac for what happened to them? I mean, wasn't he like a prime suspect?
You know, this whole thing, I feel like we haven't even seen anything yet, to be honest. And
so it's all getting ready to just pop.
Yeah, and it's sad, you know. I feel really sad, because I do agree with Suge Knight, you know. When I think about the contributions of hip-hop and of that day, and of course, we know that the original hip-hop is what it was, the best. It was raising consciousness. It was talking about real stuff. And then it slowly started to get infiltrated, and the messages became darker, and it went from a consciousness expanding or what's going on in my neighborhood to more of like a gang, and you're my biatch kind of like, and I've got many biatches and I've got them in all area codes, right? So
I think that was part of breaking up the family unit. I think this is all three letter agency. I mean, in my opinion, my theory is, I've talked to Rick Ross, the original Rick Ross, at a fight in New Mexico, and I sat with him for a while, and he talked about his book, and he discussed with me how crack introduced through the hip hop industry, through the movement, and how it was used to break up families, take out the father, degrade women. I mean, all this stuff. I mean, I think obviously we look at how the movements have changed and morphed and transgressed, and then where we're at now with everything happening with the new movements, which I can't say I'm fluffed to, but we know what movements they are. It's easy to see that this was all planned. I mean, this was all just to degenerate and chip away at society and break us down, and break us down to where we're at right now.
Right. Because even when you just think about just a general blanket and you think about the way we were expressing ourselves, I mean, of course, in all genres, there were always these sexual, sensual undertones, like that you could see that when you had no idea what you were singing as a little kid. You were like, what? That was actually about that. I had no idea. But there was a little masking around it. And then, you know, I grew up in an era where my family, for example, they exposed me to classical music and also the rancheras and these boleros, and it was poetry, right? And right. A woman would love to hear that, and it was like this romantic time where there was this regard between men and women, and almost this wanting to court. And then all of a sudden we're in the present moment where, my God,
women don't even like men anymore. Men don't even like women. I mean, they've managed to succeed at this.
And at the height of it, there was one artist that was singing about, you know, deleting potential children's.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and, right. And celebrating it. And like, what is going on here? And you're absolutely right. And when part of the reason I'm excited to be having this discussion with you is for that. It's to say, hey, it's not just the present moment. It's not just the present, like, bochinche to be paying attention to, which means gossip, right? But also use that to look back and see that the patterns have been there all along in Hollywood, in music, in all of these industries. If you even look at the television, I mean, so many of the programs have a darker energy to it.
Demonic.
Yes.
Demonic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's segue into Kanye for a second, because Kanye, you know, that guy to me, I believe, was used as an agitator. Now, that's just my opinion. And I think he brought other people into the movement to agitate and pour gasoline on the fire. And, you know, that's just really how I see it. You know, a lot of people may disagree with me, but I'm going to say that that's how I look at it. But if you look at, you know, Kanye, which I'm going to share the screen right here. Kanye West announces Yeezy, and I can't say the word, folks. You know what I'm going to say, though? Corn, okay? And I guess I could play this for a second.
A company, if you know what I mean, called Yeezy Corn, filed a trademark, announced it on social media, and then deactivated his Twitter and Instagram accounts. Ye got a lot of backlash when he announced this new business venture. He shared a 6-second YouTube video that says Yeezy Corn is coming, and he spelled coming the bad way, if you know what I mean.
So here's this guy that's proclaiming Jesus, shouting from the rooftops, and then he comes out with J people stuff, you know what I have to say it here on YouTube like this, but and then he's wearing a mask, he's wearing some kind of covering over his face, and he's coming out talking all this stuff against the J people, and it's almost like they reeled him in, his handlers, and then unleashed him to the world and said, you know what, you can make up for this if you do this, and just pushed him out there. What's your thoughts on Kanye going south?
I think that I am with those humans that are disappointed, because I think that as humans, we want to see the arc of the story, right? We want to see somebody win. And we have been when Kanye came into the music industry, I remember one of his songs was Jesus Walks, right? He was always talking about this spiritual energy and Jesus and his love for God. And then, you know, when his mom passed away, a lot of people say in the industry that that is when he started his spiral. Yeah, this is a good one.
So, let me read these Harley tips. This is how he was threatened. This is a trainer, but come to find out, he's actually Canadian intelligence, but this is my trainer. So this shows you the kind of handlers that are around the superstars in California, right? So it says, I'm going to help you one of a couple ways. First, you and I sit down and have a loving and open conversation, but you don't use cuss words. And everything that is discussed is based in fact, and that's some crazy stuff that dumb friend of yours told you or you saw in a tweet. Second,
see, this to me, he's exposing his handlers here, and it was shortly after this. He's always having these mental, what I call mental breakdowns, Rose Angel. Like, to me, it's a constant, like, you know, he disappears for a while, almost like they wrangle him in, they bring him in, and then he has a mental breakdown. He tries to escape or get away, and then they rein him in again, and then they set him out on some kind of mission.
Second option, I have you institutionalized again, where they medicate the crap out of you, and you go back to zombie land forever. Play date with the kids just won't be the same. This is the way a Hollywood trainer was talking to me to force me to go and, like, apologize. Right? You think of...
See, this is pretty scary stuff, man. And what's your thoughts on that? I mean, I definitely see that. I mean, that's a trainer. So they're in every aspect of their life. I mean, they're pastors, trainers. I mean, is it so well orchestrated? They have them surrounding these celebrities as a pastor. They put in a pastor. They put in a trainer. They put in a chef. And they're all watching these celebrities, meticulously handling them. And could we say that to be true?
It might, I mean, in regards to some of those people, like that man that he mentioned has military ties. So there's another video that I included in which you have him speaking about with almost such glee about the access and that he had. And I don't know, there are way too many celebrities that get sent away. No, it was the other one, I believe. It was just Pasternak.
Well, I don't think I think I might have not put that one up, but let's just watch this anyway.
So Kanye West will reportedly be entering the industry. Hey, it's Asia Sky for Hip Hop DX. And check this out. Kanye West is reportedly looking to bring his beautiful, dark, twisted fantasies to life with his own adult film company. According to TMZ, Ye is planning to launch a Yeezy...
See, to me, how do you go from proclaiming Jesus, screaming it at the rooftops, and then go, and then, you know, loving everybody, coming out with Jesus music. I mean, he went from that and then boom, went straight into anti-J people, anti-this, anti-everything, wearing a mask, going on the Alex Jones show, and now he's launching a site, Yeezy. I mean, this is insanity, man. I mean, hypocritical. I mean, how can you ever take this guy serious again? Nobody can. Anything he says now is just going to be like, whatever.
I mean, he's walking with his beautiful wife almost naked all the time. And I don't know, you know, there's different things that they've said about, you know, some people say, oh my gosh, she looks like she's being controlled. But then other people say, no, she loves dressing like that. She's, and who knows? Like, I'm not in their world, but when someone is saying that they love God and they've condemned in the past, and they've condemned their addiction. They've talked about they talk about the corn as a having a direct relationship to trafficking, right? And now we see this. It's almost like, what the heck is going on? Like, are you gaslighting us, or is it that you keep going to special trips where you come back almost re-educated? And, you know, one of the reasons this alarms me so much is if we look at someone or we look at celebrities and we assume that they have so much power and influence, but if they go out of line, it seems like they don't have that much power and influence after all.
Right.
Right. Because what started to happen with Ye, he started to speak about the Democratic machine too.
Right. Yeah. And then look what's happening with Britney Spears. Look let's jump to Ryan Garcia for a second because I wanted to talk about him. I feel like he's also, now I've been a fighter my entire life. I understand the stress, anxiety, and preparation that comes into having a fight and the expectations that are on you. So you go nuts anyway. I'm not saying, so I understand that aspect of the sport. But if you look at Ryan Garcia, and I'm going to share the screen here for a second, I don't know where he's coming from because he said a lot of outlandish things. And I like Ryan Garcia. I think he's a hell of a fighter, but it seems to me like he's having the same kind of mental breakdowns as Kanye. Let's watch this video here where Ryan Garcia, you know, he come out and said he went to Bohemian Grove. He's done things like that. He saw children get, you know what? He's saying a lot of outlandish things. And people are like, was that just a paparazzi stunt? Was that just publicity stunt? Was that just propaganda? And I don't know. I don't know what he saw. I don't know if it was all made up or what. I don't know if he's at heart a conspiracy theorist and he's just playing the crowd or what he's doing to get more buys for pay-per-view, or he just wanted to really sound like he was crazy. But now, you know, I know he's always proclaiming his love for Jesus. It almost looks like similar to Kanye's behavior, right? I mean, it's almost mirroring it. So he, in one breath, he's talking about Jesus Christ, and in the other, he's talking about going and getting drunk with his friends and women and partying. And it's like it's hypocritical, right? But here he is in this video talking about how he's predicting a June 6th earthquake in Los Angeles, June 6th of 2024. That would be, the number really would be 666 because June is the 6th month, the 6th day, and then 2, 4, 4 plus 2 is 6.
He says that this is partially the reason why he moved out of California and now is living in Texas. And to give you some context, let me show you a video of one of the times that he tells a host, namely Howie Mandel. Watch this.
But I did say June 6th, there will be an earthquake. And I've been saying that for 3.5 years.
So he's marking the day. He's saying June 6th, an earthquake in Los Angeles. I mean, he's almost acting like a prophet now, right? Like, do you think this is delusion of grandeur? What do you think this is? I see Kanye West in this kid.
You know, I've been curious about it, but then the other day I heard him and he stumped me because he recited a Bible verse. Like, he just went on and he just knows it. He seems to know certain Bible text very, very well. If you ask me to recite anything, I probably would get the sentence wrong.
Right. I understand that, but that really doesn't mean much to me, to be honest with you.
I agree. But then in terms of, like, he used the Bible references in terms of, I guess, to illustrate that he is a believer. But again, you're right, because here's where I get a little sensitive when I'm starting to see a lot of celebrities, you know, wear God like it's fashionable.
Yes, yes. And they hide behind it, right? It's almost like they're hiding behind it. They're almost like they see the tidal wave coming and they want to hide with the rest of the sheep. They're like wolves and sheep. So it's just very odd to me. But I'm not saying Ryan Garcia is that. I like Ryan Garcia. I'm a fan of his as a boxer, but this delusion of grandeur.
Part of what he was doing before the fight was trolling and acting all weird, right? So who knows, right? But definitely something to keep an eye on.
But to make a mockery of a movement, an actual movement, to make mockery of the children, if he was really making that stuff up, is bad to me. That's garbage if he did that. But I'm not saying he did. I don't know. Let me play the rest of this.
6th of this year?
I think there's going to be an earthquake that hits LA.
In June 6th?
Yeah. Maybe even a little earlier. But yeah, I think.
Is that why you're in Texas?
Yeah, actually, that's a big reason.
Are you serious?
You know, they kept...
I'm dead serious. Everybody thinks like I moved to Texas just because for tax reasonings. No. When I was three and a half years ago, I was fighting in Dallas, Texas, before I fought Luke Campbell and won the WBC title. And I knocked him out with a body shot. But before that, I was feeling like it's the same type of feelings I'm feeling right now. And I looked outside the window and God says, move here.
But June.
See, man, I mean, that's like prophetic stuff right there. I'm not saying he doesn't have those capabilities, but well, June 6th is just around the corner. What, it's a month away. So
the only thing that, Nino, that I've wondered about that when it comes to Ryan and the things that he's been saying is he is in a place where people could tell him information. Right. So,
yeah, I have heard.
I don't know. Right. And one thing that I appreciate about the younger folk in this world that is exposing things is that there's a fearlessness, right?
Yeah, there is
a lot of people in the industry for peer pressure reasons or fear or to protect their reputations, whatever, they just stayed quiet.
Yeah. No, he's definitely coming out. And I happen to know with people that I talk to on ninoscorner.tv that there's a lot of technology out there that could result in earthquakes, natural disasters, and things like that. So that's not off the table for me. So I believe that can easily happen. And then you got, and then this right here, going to segue into this Conor McGregor calling out Ryan, because now we know that Ryan obviously tested dirty for steroids. Conor McGregor sends Ryan Garcia X-rated threat and tells boxer to get your head together or do that. You can read it for yourself. Do something terrible to yourself after positive drug test. So to me, I think Conor, in my opinion, as a fighter, just knowing the inside of this world, I think he's just jealous of Ryan because he stole the spotlight away from Conor. Conor McGregor sent Ryan Garcia a chilling threat and told the troubled boxer to get your head together or do something terrible to yourself after he tested positive for a banned substance. Garcia failed anti-doping tests the day before and the day of his upset win over Devin Haney last month. The 25-year-old, who also came in 3 pounds overweight, tested positive for performance-enhancing osteron. I think that's how you say it. But the results did not emerge until after the fight. He has denied cheating, but McGregor sent Garcia an X-rated message on social media warning that if he was Haney's dad, what? Get your head together or go do that to yourself, McGregor wrote before the post was deleted. Cheated the weight and was juiced, a lifetime ban. Sad to say. Wow. Sad and a bit sick. Don't come near me if I ever see you again, Ryan Garcia. So it's almost like these guys, and I don't miss that out of boxing. There was so much trash talking in boxing. I had so many critics. But to see Ryan Garcia going through this, you know, the guy, he's at the top of the game right now. He's the top guy in both MMA and boxing. Ryan Garcia, there's a lot of jealous people out there, and I think Conor is one of them. I think Conor McGregor is one of them. And look, folks, when it comes to banned substances, I'm going to say 1 in 3 use it, and from what I've experienced, okay? I was in professional training camps my entire life since I was 16 years old. I've dabbled with the stuff. I don't care. I admit. I don't care. But I saw people with big names using that stuff. It's just, it's rampant in all of it. And I wouldn't even, and I'm not going to say Conor use it because I have no proof in that, but people just, there's just people that just know how to cheat better and then cheat a little better on this, cheat the test. And that's really the way it works in this game. So what's your thoughts on that, Rose Angel? I mean, I think jealousy.
Oh my God, I think jealousy is a driving proponent in anger with a lot of the videos that we're seeing. And this is why I always ask themselves, who are you listening to? What does that person have a vendetta? Is that person just jealous? Was that person burned? Like, these industries are very hard. They're very grueling. And there's a reason why a small percentage of amount of people make it. It's not necessarily because you're more special than somebody else. It's because it's the fortitude, right? It's like when you go to boot camp, how many people are going, are getting through it, right? Or going into those specialized places. So some of the vitriol you get or you're seeing right now is because also the world has become a little bit softer in terms of optics, and everybody's like, oh my God, this person was so mean to me. Well, that's part of the industry in a sense, right? And the other part with drugs, do you notice that even though we didn't try to do it this way for this presentation, there's a commonality here, even though it's different. There's some sort of drugs in all of these environments.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if singers could take a drug to make their voice better or hit a higher note, you know they'd be taking it. Drugs aren't everything. People are taking weight loss Ozempic drugs off the chart. People want to get skinnier, so they'll do anything to do it. So they're taking Ozempic, and that drug could even kill you. I mean, this is crazy. So people that are always going after athletes saying, oh, how dare you take a drug that makes you faster, stronger? You know, it's like, well, if you were a scientist and you could take a drug to make you smarter, you would. And I'm sure that's out there. People take Adderall for reasons, to study, to stay up late, for college tests. It's in everything. You make a good point right there. That's in absolutely everything. So for Connor to get on Ryan about this, and I've seen Connor party. I've seen him party. You know, they all party, man. We all party. And I know what drugs people use. I'm not saying Connor does, but I know he parties. I know he's out in the scene. So you're telling me he's just drinking alcohol? I don't know. Everyone has their drug of choice. I've had many vices. Unfortunately, I don't have any right now. I've been sober for a really long time, folks. And so, I don't know if I should be clapping or be crying, but, you know, it is what it is. But I'm going to segue now into some De Niro, folks, Trump derangement. And this is the last thing we're going to be talking about here, because he is so worried. And a lot of these celebrities, and I think a lot of the, what we're watching from them, these crazy breakdowns, this erratic behavior, is because they're nervous. They're really nervous about what's coming down the pipeline for them. Kind of like what happened with Diddy, what's happened to Harvey Weinstein. But they see Mr. T coming. And you know who I'm talking about when I say Mr. T, who's most likely going to be I'm going to say with 100% guarantee, in my opinion, he's going to be your next president. Mr. T coming down the pipeline, and I think they're nervous. And here we see Robert De Niro on an
interview. Not a joy.
I want to get your view on this. Look at this. Is like severe Trump derangement syndrome, or is he hiding something?
Joy, but of relief, at least, that he's potentially facing some consequences. Because as you've said before, this guy's a con artist, and he's gotten away with it for years.
No, he's more than that to me. He's sick. He is really, genuinely a sick person that somehow has been allowed into our system. And I'm not calling him. I'm tired of calling him names. He just can't be anywhere.
Look how worried this guy is, Rosangel. Look how severely panicked this guy is for any thought that Mr. T may be back in office. He is scared.
Near. The office of the presidency.
You've played a lot of bad guys. Would you ever play Donald Trump?
Never. There's nothing about him. There's not one redeeming thing in him that I can see ever. It's funny, I was just thinking that he actually became president. He could have done good things.
He could have done good things. Are you listening to this? You're telling me Biden did better? You're telling me this, the World War III, the economy and all this is better than what Mr. T did? Are you telling me this? 4 years that we had with Mr. T was absolutely amazing, in my opinion. And this guy has the audacity to say this?
Instead, he had to do it all wrong. He's so, as we all know, so narcissistic and self-centered.
What do you say to those who say, I don't like the guy, but I'm going to vote for him? What's your message to them?
I don't understand it. I don't think they understand how dangerous it is.
Dangerous for you, Mr. De Niro. Dangerous for you. Because what are you hiding? That's the question, right, Rosangel? What is he hiding?
will be if he ever, God forbid, becomes president. I don't think they really understand. And historically, from what I see, even with, in Nazi Germany, they had it with Hitler. They don't take him seriously. He looks like a clown, acts like a clown. Mussolini, same thing. These guys, I don't know why, they look like clowns. They somehow, people, that element of society identifies in some ways with them. But it would be chaos beyond our imagination. There's no mystery about him. He's right out front. And what he says is what it'll be if he becomes president.
Yeah, you're going to be in a lot of trouble, sir. That's the way I see it.
He breaks my heart, Nino. I don't have a lot of actors that I like, and he's one of my favorites. That, but he has much Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah. No, I know. It's sad. And you know, but the only thing I can think of is, what does he have to hide? What's he hiding? Because we all know who he's going after, what kind of crimes those people did. So to me, it speaks volumes of De Niro's character.
You know, here's what I think is good news, right? I think that people are waking up to the way politicians work with artists to try to bait people into voting. And maybe this is why they've been coming up with alternative ways to try to secure more votes.
I don't know, but I was reading the comments and a lot of people are turned off by Robert De Niro. A lot of people are just disgusted with him because there's a waking up process happening within America right now where everyone's waking up, the light bulb's going on, and people are saying, you know what? We know what time it is. We know what's happening within our country. And the awareness is really peaking. And when you see people like this come out and bash somebody that did absolutely wonderful things for the country, you know, okay, you're one of them. We know who you are. You're showing your cards plain as day. We get it. Do you agree with that?
He's definitely been showing us his cards for sure. Again, I'm disappointed because I really like Robert De Niro and I love his movies. And it's just really sad because you can kind of feel, not just with him, but when you see these celebrities that do these stupid commercials that they put them up to, some of them just look like there's agony in their eyes. Like, why am I saying this stupid thing? You know, like, it's really cringe. And I think that the average person has just woken up and they're like, stop feeding me this nonsense, this garbage. You know, when they talk about Trump, and I remember one time he gathered, he had like a Hispanic prosperity event at the White House. And the man from Goya decided to go. I mean, if you have a Latino company and there's anything in the White House, I don't care who's there as a president, I'm going to want to go, right?
Didn't they boycott Goya or something like that? They like try to go after the company?
Well, they did have a Goya protest, and some of the, this would be really good to explore, some of the certain politicians had major meltdowns. I remember one in particular did a video in front of a whole bunch of Goya cans, and he started crying. And that's the other thing. A lot of these people, even in media, fake crying.
Yeah.
Fake crying over,
they're actors.
Oh my God, this man.
They're actors.
But here's, okay, but then you see this nonsense, but it has real world consequences, right? So when we were in the height of the pandemic and the Goya protest is happening and I'm getting canceled by my friends because I'm speaking about it, I'm like, oh, it seems suspicious that you want to cancel Goya and all of a sudden come up with alternative Goya products when the company has been around. It seems to me like Trump derangement syndrome. Now, I heard that local food pantries that collect food for people in need, they were turning away Goya products.
What?
Yes. I have.
That's insanity. That's such evil.
Yes. And then I'm like, wow, like the audacity. And this is what the Democratic Socialists of America, they were pushing this. Like, they were the ones, the squad in them, like condemning people. So look, I'm grateful that people are waking up to the nonsense. And you know, I was a few feet away one time from Donald Trump Jr. and I was able to ask him a question, and he was so nice. He was so personable.
Yeah, I met him too. He's a great guy.
And we're not having, I don't know them intimately, but in my mind, like, I've also been close to local electeds in Brooklyn and New York. Try asking them a question. You see all the videos of the activists that are just like being ignored because they're like, they're walking around with this elitist kind of attitude. Like, yes, yes, I lead for the brown people in New York.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's the same here in El Paso. It's the same thing. That's why nothing really ever happens here. Like, as much as they push it on the MSM and they show the border and all that, it's a wrap here in El Paso, man. It's so bad. And I know the hammer's going to come down on all of them soon. It's coming down on all of them. Rose Angel, thanks for joining me. This was fun. I want to do this more often. So I don't know, folks, give me your thoughts down below. Leave a comment, like the video, share the video. If you like these little segments, we're going to do more of them. Depends how this one does. Rose Angel, thank you so much. And I know not to call you Rosie Pettis.
Thank you so much. We're going to have to get into the boxing ring now. Thank you. This was fun. And hello to your audience. And we'll see you soon.
You got it. Thank you, Rose.
Bye.